Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. We're going to talk Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man? I heard your cell phone go off right when I pressed go live.
Yeah, that is correct. I just got an email back from Georgia. I'd set up an interview. It's actually going to be in the Friday edition of the Daily Journal. It's an interview with Jarvis Wilson, the former Tupelo standout, who was once a Mississippi State commitment, been playing for the last 3 years at Georgia. He's a safety, and spoke to him yesterday, and that was actually Georgia following back up just to see if the interview went well and wishing me good luck with my story, which I haven't wrote yet. So I need all the luck I can get.
Yeah, we'll take some good fortune. Hey, folks, before we get too deep into today's program, I want to remind you about some other podcasts to be on the lookout for. Check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, with Chris Kiefer and Derek Russell, that comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. And be sure to look for Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Dalton Middleton and Brad Locke. That comes to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here with you with Double Coverage Thursday, usually Friday, maybe, depending on what's going on and travel schedules and whatnot. And travel, Logan, was quite the challenge for me last week. Every now and then we get one of those extra value sized road trips, and this one was out to California. I didn't have the experience that you did in trying to get home from BYU last year. I just had a little bit of standard airport delay to deal with, but it was a long trip nonetheless. We'll talk Ole Miss and Cal in just a second. A disappointing 27-16 loss for the Rebels, a game they had many, many opportunities to win. But let's start with the Bulldogs, now the top 25 ranked Bulldogs, coming off a, what was it, Logan, 37-7 win over LSU?
That's right, yeah. And, you know, I wasn't really surprised that Mississippi State beat LSU Saturday night, but I was surprised about how badly Mississippi State beat LSU. I mean, it was outside of the first quarter, which was scoreless, it was the last three quarters, Mississippi State just flat out dominated that ball game. And early on, it just kind of seemed like both teams were kind of feeling each other out. And, Mississippi State just dominated the line of scrimmage. It was almost a reversal of fortune of so many LSU-Mississippi State games that I've seen over the years. I mean, I've seen LSU just absolutely whip Mississippi State up and down the field, but it was right the opposite Saturday night. State played really, really well in just about every phase of the game. And, LSU shot themselves in the foot plenty of times. They had an early touchdown call back on offensive pass interference. They had another touchdown call back that on holding, which they eventually scored on that drive. That was the only drive they scored on. But even LSU was playing an extra offensive lineman on their drives to try to open up some running holes early on in that ball game. And, you know, they did in one drive. They drove down the field and scored. But, you know, other than that, once Mississippi State started racking up points, Mississippi State scored on seven straight drives in that ball game, racked up 30 unanswered points in that ball game. And, you know, LSU couldn't afford to run the ball at that point. They were forced to pass, and, you know, they had some shots down the field and the receivers dropped the ball. And, Mississippi State just played really, really well in all three phases. And they found a field goal kicker. Jace Chrisman came on. He had never attempted a field goal in college before, and he comes out and kicks three of them, one of them being a 45 yarder. So, you know, that's a good sign for Mississippi State. I think that may have been one of the loudest ovations of the night, was Jace Chrisman coming on and kicking his first field goal. And, the crowd was uproar. They cheered when the women's basketball team came out. They got a loud ovation. Dak Prescott got a loud ovation when they showed him on the video board with the Bulldogs and the NFL thing. But, that stadium Saturday night was really, really a great environment for college football. Mississippi State has created a really cool environment. Ever since they enclosed that end zone over there, it's really made it the environment a lot louder. And You know, the thing they do with the Don't Stop Believing in the fourth quarter, before the fourth quarter starts, is really cool experience when all the fans turn their cell phone lights on, and it's a pretty cool raucous atmosphere. And I noticed a lot of the LSU beat writers kind of experienced it for the first time since all of this has started to happen for Mississippi State. You know, they were talking, you know, I even saw some of them saying that it was louder and a cooler environment than Tiger Stadium has been. So, you know, that's a pretty tall statement right there, because Tiger Stadium is a very intimidating atmosphere on a Saturday night. But, you know, State played well, but they jumped into the top 25 at number 17. But now, again, they've got another tall task ahead of them. They got to go to number 11, Georgia, and then next week they turn around and go to Auburn. It's kind of eerily similar to what State did in 2014 when they made that run from unranked to number one. You know, they played LSU down in Baton Rouge and won that game, and turned around and played Auburn and Texas A&M at home the next 2 weeks and won those, and you know, beat three top 10 opponents in a row. And then, you know, like I said, made that jump from unranked to number one. This time they faced three straight top 20 opponents. You know, Auburn is kind of slipped a little bit with that loss to Clemson, but still ranked in the top 20. And, you know, if they can reel off that, I don't know that they're going to go to number one, but they will probably be in the top 10 if they can pull that off. But it's a much taller task to win two of those three on the road versus two of those three at home. So we'll have to see over the next couple of weeks how the Bulldogs do. But right now they're playing really, really well on both sides of the ball.
Logan, the short answer to this is coaching, and you have a new coordinator on that side with Todd Grantham at Mississippi State. But tell me why this defense is so much better than it was last year.
I think it's Todd Grantham and his experience. You know, last year had a first-year defensive coordinator in Peter Sermon. And, yeah, it's not like Mississippi State has wholesale personnel changes on defense right now. It's many of the same guys that were out there last year looking lost. And I think right now they have direction. You know, Todd Grantham knows what he's doing out there. He has a scheme. They've practiced it all week, and he knows when to call the right plays out there against certain offenses. And Mississippi State's played three different types of offense the first 3 weeks of the season. They played the triple option of Charleston Southern, the pass-happy offense of Louisiana Tech, and then the run-heavy offense of LSU. And State's played well against all three. Now they're going to see a lot of run this weekend with Nick Chubb and those guys in Athens. But you know, so far they've played really, really, really well on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it just has to do with his experience. You know, he's coached in the NFL. He's been a college coach for years, coached in the SEC at Georgia. He's been the last few years at Louisville. And you kind of look, you know, it seemed like they traded defensive coordinators. Peter Sermon went to Louisville. Todd Grantham comes from Louisville to Mississippi State. And you know, you look on the kind of the message boards and some of the talk on Twitter, and the Louisville fan base is saying the same things about Peter Sermon that Mississippi State did a year ago. Some of them are, you know, saying it's his first year, give him a chance. And the other one are like, get that guy out of town right now. He's awful. And, yeah, it's the same things we saw at Mississippi State last year. And, you know, it seems like that's been the case at Louisville this year. So, you know, I think just Grantham, you know, and being a veteran coach has really helped State on that side of the ball.
Well, let's talk about Ole Miss a little bit. The Rebels falling at Cal, a game, as I mentioned, that they had many opportunities to win. They lose 27-16. Look, they went out there, Logan. They played Cal, not Southern Cal. You know, this was a team that had many similarities with Ole Miss in terms of being kind of a mid-level team in its conference. Mid-level might be a generous expression for the Rebels right now coming off this game. But they go into Cal with a lot of similarities, and they come out, frankly, and they were bottled up on offense. Their explosive offense was limited to really three big plays. And, you know, I had the figures in the Daily Journal on Monday. We didn't have anything in the print edition, you know, from the late start. That was where DJournal.com helped us with able to get our news out that way. So lots of good stuff there on the website shortly after the game. But Ole Miss had, and I don't have the figures in front of me, 400 and some odd total yards. But you take away three plays, two of them touchdowns, and then another long pass to DK Metcalf. And the Ole Miss offense on 70 plays had something like 250 yards. So Cal really did a number on this offense that had been as explosive as we thought it could be in the first two games. Now, it was not Power 5 competition in the first two games. They really dominated South Alabama and Tennessee Martin, kind of overwhelming those teams offensively. And it looked that like they might do the same to Cal early on. Cal was having struggles in the secondary the first 2 weeks. They were giving up a lot of passing yards. That looked like a very good matchup for Ole Miss going into that game. And certainly it started that way. Well, then Cal made some adjustments. Cal played a little more zone coverage. Ole Miss lost A.J. Brown early in that game. And I'll tell you, Logan, as good as I think this group of wide receivers can be at Ole Miss, it's clear that A.J. Brown is the leader right now. He is the one making tough catches. He's the one making more than the basic plays and the one who is most likely to break contact and gain those valuable yards after contact. And so he's really set himself apart. And, you know, whether he'll be available for the Alabama game on September 30th remains to be seen. He's getting a lot of rest during this open date. But he had an MCL strain coming out of that game and was injured very early in the game. So they played most of their visit to Cal without A.J. Brown, their number one receiver. Be that as it may, this is a group that still should be able to make plays, and they were not able to do that for three quarters against Cal, and ultimately that came back to bite them. So, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly of the Cal game, you know, the offense was bad. It was not good at all. The Rebels, again, failed to reach 60 yards rushing. Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, you know, kind of downplays that still. When we ask him about it, he talks about how he evaluates the run game differently, how he looks at it to see is it helping create downfield opportunities in the passing game. He points out the Rebels were successful in the run game, converting a couple of third and short opportunities as they were. And they had a couple of good runs called back on penalties. That was another problem in the game for Ole Miss, 16 penalties, just three away from setting a school record that has stood since 1949. The school record of 19 goes way back to 49, which was not only the Vaught era, but very early in the Vaught era. So bad offense, penalties, and injuries. I mentioned A.J. Brown, but this group was really out of sync on the offensive line after it lost Sean Rawlings. And they moved Javon Patterson over there from guard to center, and there were some problems with the snap, but not so many that were, you know, too high or too wide to be caught. But a lot of times Shea Patterson having to work for that to work to catch the snap. So Javon Patterson filled in there, and it was noticeably different without Sean Rawlings. Rawlings has a severe ankle sprain, so severe that he had surgery Monday. You don't usually hear about surgery with an ankle sprain. He could be out a couple of weeks, though Matt Luke did not rule him out for the Alabama game. We'll see. The Rebels could be without both Rawlings and A.J. Brown against Alabama. Now, that being said, there was some good in the Cal game. The Ole Miss defense made strides. Didn't make enough strides to look at them and say they've arrived. Not enough to say this is going to be a defense that's going to carry you through SEC play and help you win games. But they put the Rebels in position against Cal, gave the Rebels a chance, gave them more than enough chances to win. Had that explosive offense really been explosive against the Bears. But what I saw from Ole Miss defensively was a better run game. They were better against the run. They were where they were supposed to be. They were fitting gaps, as you hear players say all the time, and they were tackling better. And that's a credit to this coaching staff, because it's hard to improve tackling during the season. But it's really been an emphasis for this group, and they looked like they just looked better as a tackling unit. Part of that had to do with some experienced guys getting back in the lineup. Ken Webster, the cornerback, and Dietrich Bing-Dukes, the middle linebacker, you may recall, were suspended for the first game after shoplifting charges right at the start of camp. They're back in the good graces of the coaching staff now, and both of them are playing well. Bing-Dukes got the start at middle linebacker, and when you can keep him in the box, when you can keep Dietrich Bing-Dukes from having to get out in pass coverage in space, he can be a really good player. He had 7 tackles and a quarterback pressure against Cal. We saw early in the game when he needed to get out and make a play in space, and he was not able to come up with the tackle. That's not his strength right now, but right now this defense needs somebody who can wrap up and get an opposing ball carrier to the ground, and Dietrich Bing-Dukes gives them the best chance to do that at middle linebacker. So an improved defense, a defense that had 2 takeaways, 2 interceptions by free safety C.J. Moore, one of them stopping a Cal drive that had reached the Ole Miss 8-yard line. And C.J. Moore has played well early this season. He's one of the top tacklers on the team. Now he has a couple of interceptions. This is a guy whose job at free safety was scrutinized throughout August camp. They weren't happy with what they were seeing there. The coaches were not. They tried other players at the position. Still, C.J. Moore hangs on to the job as the starter and is playing well right now. So bad offense, better defense. I'll put that in the good category. And the ugly at Cal was simply the fact that Ole Miss was not able to make adjustments as a coaching staff to counter what Cal was doing defensively. Cal dominated that game for the better part of 3 quarters. As I mentioned, those big plays by the Ole Miss offense, they came early, and there just wasn't much after that. The Rebels were not able to make adjustments and change things on the fly. Part of that, I'm sure, has to do with the absence of Rawlings and the shuffle they were playing on the offensive line there, penalties coming into play, communication. All of these things added up to really a pretty big win for Cal that is 3-0 right now, with downstate rival Southern Cal coming to Berkeley this weekend. Logan, you said you were able to watch the second half of that game. You know, it was the late game if you're in the Central Time Zone. One of the things when you're out west covering, you know, if I'm on the road, I like to finish up and get back to the hotel and watch the late game. Well, there's nothing later than starting at 7:30 Pacific time zone there, Logan. So I was the late game, and I was just happy to get a couple of hours of sleep before I had to get to the airport. But tell me your impressions of the Rebels from what you saw.
Yeah, and that was really my first opportunity to see Ole Miss this season. And, you know, like I said, I caught the second half, which is a lot of the bad and the ugly. I think a lot of the good happened early on in that game. You know, A.J. Brown was out of the game at that point. I think Sean Rawlings was already out of the game at that point. I saw Jordan Wilkins go down. You know, is there any update on him? Is he good to go?
You know, I think he's going to be good. He's been at practice. You know, we'll see. But just, you know, lots of there are little injuries for this team right now. And look, this is a team that has less depth than others. You're seeing that from scholarship reductions and recruiting right now. They can't afford these injuries. But there's no one right now who they have declared out for the season. Now, I think the Rawlings and A.J. Brown injuries, look, you know, these are things that could linger. You know, hopefully they'll get these guys healthy and get them back in the game. We'll see. But they're dealing with several knee injuries right now, MCL sprains. And look, it wasn't an ACL tear that ended the season of Ole Miss safety Tony Connor against Alabama in 2015. You know, usually, you know what you're getting with an ACL tear. You're going to be out 6 months, 7 months, something like that. An MCL, usually you think you can work your way back from it, and it looks like several players are dealing with that right now. But it was an MCL that Tony Connor was not able to work his way back from. There were a couple of surgeries, and he was never the same player after that. And that injury at Alabama in 2015 cost Tony Connor and, you know, a chance at an NFL career. So Jordan Wilkins, I think, is going to be okay. We'll see. Frankly, the running game right now, Logan, is so bad that if there's something that creates a shuffle among the running backs and somebody gets another chance, you know, that might not be a bad thing. It might not be a bad thing to see Eric Swinney pressed into action a little bit. Now, you know, I'm a firm believer that coaches can evaluate their players and, you know, and rank them and get them where they need to be on the depth chart and give them opportunities to play accordingly. But sometimes, you know, an injury like this creates an opportunity for someone else. And, you know, maybe there's something in here that that gets more of an opportunity for Eric Swinney. We'll see.
Yeah, and another thing I saw, you know, and the announcers were commenting on at the end of the game was just the mismanagement of the clock. You know, when the last, you know, Shea Patterson throws the pick six with about 3 minutes left to go, and yeah, all but sealed the game. But there was still a shot for Ole Miss. They would have had to, you know, had to take a lot of good fortune to end up winning that game. But you know, they were you know, they needed, I guess, what, a touchdown and a field goal or something, just to, whatever it was, to keep the game going. And you know, they just used up too much time, didn't use their timeouts properly. Did you notice any of that at the end of the game?
I did notice that at the end of the game, but I'll tell you, I didn't put as much stock in it as the announcers from ESPN probably did, because I just didn't give the Rebels much of a chance to come back after the pick six, because I knew that was a flat team. I knew that the air had been let out of the bubble. You know, you've played poorly all night long, and then you get the ball back with like 3.5 minutes, and you've still got a shot. And you know you've got some big play receivers, and all you need is a broken play, and you take the lead. You're down 4 points at that time. You know, I think all things considered, as poorly as Ole Miss had played offensively, you know, that was not a bad position for the Rebels to be in at that time. And they can thank their defense for giving them that chance with, what, 3.5 minutes left. And then you get the pick six. So it was one of three interceptions on the night for Shea Patterson. It wasn't his best game of the year by any stretch. Again, a lot of factors go into that. The offensive line that he's played with was really out of sync after the Rawlings injury. You ought to be able to overcome the injury to one player, but that's not where Ole Miss is at that position, particularly with another of their backup centers, redshirt freshman Eli Johnson, having been lost with an ACL tear in the Tennessee Martin game. So they're scrambling at center. It'll probably be Jordan Sims against Alabama. We'll see. That's a position that they're very concerned with right now. So, no, to answer your question, I didn't put as much stock in the clock management there at the end. It could have been better, but I think that was a deflated team. I don't think they were coming back at that point.
Yeah, and State dealt with a couple of injuries as well against LSU. Had a couple of starters not play in that game. Defensive tackle Corey Thomas didn't play, a foot injury. He was riding around on a scooter with his left foot in a cast, and he's not going to be available this week at Georgia. Braxton Hoyette came in and started in his place and played really, really well. They kind of shifted the defensive line around a little bit. Jeffrey Simmons, who's played so well, he played a little bit outside. They really went with a four-man front a little bit. They kind of moved Montez Sweat up, and he was able to create some more havoc in there. And he's kind of been that defensive end outside linebacker slash role that they've had. And he's played really, really well. He hasn't racked up a whole lot of stats, but he has really affected the offense, you know, making them, you know, the quarterback step up in the pocket, somebody else gets a sack. He's been kind of a fingertip away from getting a sack, and I wrote about that earlier in the week. I think that was in the Wednesday edition of the Daily Journal, and you can check that out at djournal.com on a feature on Montez Sweat. But another injury Mississippi State dealt with senior wide receiver Gabe Miles. He, same boat, you know, left foot in the cast, riding around on a scooter. Now, there is a possibility, Dan Mullen says, of him being available to play this weekend at Georgia, but you know, it didn't look good, you know, especially with both of those players riding around on scooters with their foots in the cast, and, you know, especially with a wide receiver, you know, that's tough to, you know, to make that bounce back that quickly from that. We'll have to see, you know, what his status is, if he even makes the trip to Athens this week. Dan Mullen said it would be a possibility. Now, Malik Deer, you know, we've talked about him for pretty much the, you know, all preseason. And the first 3 weeks, he was actually dressed out against LSU this past week. He did not play, but he was dressed out. He practiced some last week. He's continued to practice this week. He's going to give Mississippi State a shot in the arm if he's able to play, you know, in the slot position. But he's been out since the spring with a torn ACL. He's almost back. And, you know, it's right now, it's kind of the area of do they even play him this season? You know, if they can get him back this week, they can probably, you know, justify playing him this year. But if it goes very much further beyond this week, you probably just have to ask yourself, is it even worth it? Do you want to waste a year of his career on just a few games? So that's a decision they've had to make. They've played really well in the slot in his absence. Keith Mixon had a big game the other night, 6 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown against LSU. Dedrick Thomas has caught a touchdown pass in the LSU game. He's actually got a couple of touchdown passes or catches on the year. So they've played well in the slot, but Malik Deer brings something different to that slot position. He's kind of a short, stocky guy, almost built like Josh Robinson was a few years ago from Mississippi State. Those big tree trunk type of legs, low to the ground, tough to tackle in the open field. So we'll have to see, you know, if he's able to get back onto the field this week against Georgia. He would give Mississippi State's offense something that it doesn't have right now. But at the same time, Dedrick Thomas and Keith Mixon have both played well in the slot for State. And, you know, this weekend it's going to be kind of a homecoming of sorts. A lot of ties to the Georgia program. It's not a team that Mississippi State plays all that often. I think it was 2011 maybe the last time that they played against Georgia. So it's been a while, but a lot of ties. Todd Grantham obviously was the defensive coordinator at Georgia for several years. DJ Looney, Mississippi State's tight ends coach, who was a former Mississippi State player, coached last year at Georgia with Kirby Smart. He was a GA there. And that's another tie. Jonathan Abram, Mississippi State starting safety. He started his career at Georgia, played there as a true freshman. Chauncey Rivers, Mississippi State's defensive end, who can't play this year, was also a true freshman playing for Georgia as well. So, you know, there's some ties there. There's a couple of members of Georgia's strength staff that are former Mississippi State players, long snapper Aaron Feld and defensive tackle Rodney Prince. Those guys played at Mississippi State for Dan Mullen. Now they're on the strength staff there at Georgia. Shane Beamer, Georgia's tight ends coach, was a running backs coach and I think a secondary coach for Sylvester Croom back in the day. And then Will Windham, who's a GA on Georgia staff, was also in the same position at Mississippi State several years ago. So there's a lot of ties between those guys. And then you go to the fact that Nick Fitzgerald, his uncle played at Georgia, and he grew up a Georgia fan. That was the offer that he wanted. And obviously Nick Fitzgerald only got two offers coming out of high school from Mississippi State and Middle Tennessee. So he went to camp at Georgia for 4 years trying to earn a scholarship. They weren't interested. He talked about that earlier this week. And he says it's going to be another game, but you know deep down inside that that's got to kind of stick with him. And we'll have to kind of see what his emotions are as he starts that ball game between the hedges on Saturday, because, you know, that's obviously the stadium he's always wanted to play in. And it's still have to see how his emotions are, see if he's too ramped up or if they're going to have to dial that back a little bit when that game gets going.
For Ole Miss, the focus during the open date has been inward, not outward, we're told, and there's a lot to work on inward as the Rebels try to reduce these penalties. I don't know how many times we heard the words self-inflicted from Matt Luke during his press conference earlier this week. So the Rebels trying to reduce penalties. They're going to have to get some cohesion along that offensive line, assuming that Sean Rawlings is out. One bit of good news, Logan, it looks like there was no after effect for tight end Dawson Knox after he played about 20 snaps at Cal. He had a stress fracture early in camp, and this is a guy that Ole Miss was really counting on in the offense, not in the same way that they used Evan Engram last year, but still kind of a hybrid guy, an athletic 6'4", 250, who could be a matchup problem at times and could also put his hand in the dirt. I think Dawson Knox will play a little bit more against Alabama and will perhaps be targeted. He was not targeted against Cal. So, you know, maybe the Rebels will have A.J. Brown back. That remains to be seen. Looks like the role will increase for Dawson Knox. We'll see. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, with Chris Kiefer and Derek Russell every Wednesday and Friday. Look for Prep Rally for your high school sports needs with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.